Have you ever dreamed of a life designed by you, not for you? A life where you hold the reins of your financial future? At Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all walking the path towards financial independence. We understand that success is crafted in the face of adversity. It's in these testing times that we discover our resilience, our determination, and our discipline. That's why we're inviting you to learn more about Become an Investor. It's not just about learning the ins and outs of real estate investing. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial future. We'll provide the tools, but the choice to act, to persevere, and to succeed is yours. Join us and start your journey towards living life by design. Together, we'll turn aspiration into reality and empowerment into success. Learn more at becomeaninvestor.com.
Okay, guys, taking off with another episode of our Live Life by Design podcast brought to you by Become an Investor with the full house tonight.
Yay!
You!
Hello!
Everybody clap.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's too funny.
Yeah, audio is not visual.
So. Thank God, right?
Anyways, man, such a great night tonight, full of energy, full of enthusiasm with our small but mighty team. Ladies, how you doing tonight? Sarah?
Hello, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good, good, good. What's new? Tell us about life.
Just everything and anything you can think about. Oh, my internet's still down.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh, my. It's been 3 days.
There's no life.
No, right?
I was telling you that last night. I was like, oh, my God. Everything would be down at my house. Yeah. I wouldn't even be able to turn the lights off.
Oh, it sucks. Yeah.
That does.
My son's excuse is, Mom, I can't do homework. I need the internet. Now perfect. Everything is yeah. true. So,
wow.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That kind of sucks. But we move on, right?
Moving on, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think eventually we're going to have to end up with one of those little Wi-Fi receptors from Tesla.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Know, from Elon.
I just saw the other day, you know, Brazilian people, they were so freaking sarcastic. Yeah. So there is the people them. There is the Tesla chargers, right? The you know where they go
station.
There you go. And there is a bunch of Teslas over there, and there is a tower, and on the side of the tower, a generator.
gas generator.
Yeah, perfect.
And they're just genius. Like, where are you going with this word? I'm just like, no.
I love it.
But they are making money.
Yeah. I mean, that you know, they're making it work. So if it works, don't fix it.
You know,
right? Danny,
I'm broke.
How you doing, Danny?
What's up, beautiful people? I'm slapping at the mic.
Oh, we got the giggles today, guys.
Oh my goodness. What's up?
How you doing today?
I'm doing good and doing great.
Anything new happening?
Oh goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff's coming up. Your internet's down. My website has been working. Hopefully I'll get that new one going so I can survive with all this new rules and stuff and games in life. Sometimes you need a little change, and that's how you do it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what
how
not
we
to do.
Do it.
You know, now that you have your website going, don't ask Sarah for the Wi-Fi.
Thank you.
It's not going to work out.
Words of wisdom for Wicho Medina.
Oh, you're going to break up, Sarita. Yeah. Sorry.
Mr. Campos, how you doing, brother?
Good, man. Good. Just, you know, getting things done, changing things up a little bit. Just like I'm sure, you know, the rest of you guys are just getting ready for this market shift, you know, all the stuff that's coming up and all the crazy things that are coming down the pipe. So, yeah, just trying to get myself prepped up.
Yeah, man. You know, it's you have to prep.
Yep.
Right? You have to prep. You can't wait for that wave just to come and strike you in the face.
Exactly.
That kind of sucks, man. And you know what sucks is I know a bunch of people that run their businesses like that.
They just wait.
They just wait, and then they react. But then when you react, there's no clarity because there's no true intention of your next step.
Right.
You're just, it hurts, let me move.
It turns into a fire drill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there's no clarity in what you're trying to put out because now you just allowed the next house to catch fire and the next house right. to catch fire, you know?
And then you can't fix it.
Yep.
Wow, that kind of sucks, man. But anyways, before we get all south again.
Yeah, no kidding. Know? Before we even get started.
Let's, Campos, you're going to share with us about the topic?
Yeah, so today, guys, we're talking about the changes in buying a house.
Wow.
And we're not going to talk, we're not necessarily talking about from the investor side of things, but more so on the retail side.
Yeah.
Unless you're an investor who uses an agent to buy a house, well, then
yeah.
that's going to change for you as well. Wow. So, yeah, we're talking about the NAR changes that took effect on the 17th of August.
Man, you know what? All these different changes are happening. It sucks. Before they would propose,
mm-hmm.
and then they would sit in the back burner for so long, and then some of them would pass and be enforced, and some of them would just stay in the back burner, right? Now it's like...
Bam, bam, bam.
Bam. You know, there's been so many different changes in the last year
right.
that you can't keep up with them. You know, now it's like, shit, we used to buy at 70% minus repairs. Now for it to make sense, you got to let it go for 50, 40%
right.
minus repairs.
Right.
You know, and I don't know, 10 years from now, just give me your house.
For real.
I mean, you're not going to make any money anyway, so just...
Let's share the views.
You know?
Oh, my goodness.
And then nothing's going to work out anymore, at least here in the state of California.
Yeah, at least in California.
There's not going to be any more incentives. No incentives to freedom anymore.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. Like, no incentive to work hard.
Oh, my goodness. Not even going to talk about the new tax ones they're trying to approve for next year. I'll bring for next week.
Oh, my God.
are we talking about the capital gains or the unrealized?
I've
been talking about that for a minute. That shit's... let's not even go down that path because I'm going to start getting pissed off
okay,
again.
Okay. let's get going with the quote. Maybe the quote will kind of enlighten us and... Cheer us up.
Have mercy. Have mercy.
Let's do the quote. Yeah. So today's quote is by Ludacris. I'm not going to rap, guys. I'm just going to say it.
Luda.
So, of course, I have bills to pay, but at the same time, it's more about the passion and the love. And I think that's where music should come from, the heart, not necessarily just to cash a check. Ludacris. Ooh.
That's pretty badass because, you know why? I think that goes hand in hand with some of the discussions we're having earlier.
Right.
Right? Because, I mean, yeah, everybody cares about the money at some point, but that's not the focus, right? Our focus has always been to help and serve and provide great service, right? And then the money follows. It's always kind of been, at least my mindset, the way I run my business, right?
Yeah.
I like the way he says that, though, that, you know, it's not about it's not just cash to cash a check.
Right. But so I'm going to take the devil's advocate side here.
Go for it.
Coming from an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Coming from an artist talking about music. You know,
I forgot.
Not, you know, he. And no, I'm talking about Ludacris, not me.
No, I was talking about you. I thought you were going to do a comparison.
But no, by no means. So the quote comes from Ludacris, who's an artist, and speaks about not the money, but the music.
The passion.
Of course, passion. He's going to say that. Right? And then the money's going to be a byproduct of that. But this guy, emphasized his passion and then rode that wave and gave him, made him who he is now.
Yep.
In business, a lot of people don't know what their passion is. A lot of people just follow others or somebody else's passion. And somebody else's passion can weigh a ton on your shoulders when to them it's just a feather. So you're following the footsteps of someone that is really connected to what they're doing. You're really attracted to the results they're having. But it's weighing on you because that's not your passion. You're doing it for the money.
In that instance, yes.
Yes.
I think that once you find what drives you,
mm-hmm.
that can turn into passion.
Right.
Right. You know what I mean? So, like,
absolutely. Once you identify what wakes you up, that turns into passion.
But you know what? Sometimes it can be the money. Sometimes people get turned on and wake up because, you know what? They want the money.
I'm going to respectfully argue that in the sense of the money is the tool that gives them
what because they that's want. Not your passion, though.
Right, but who can be passionate about money?
Somebody can. I can't. I'm not speaking for myself. I'm just making the argument that somebody, I'm sure there are a lot of people who are passionate about money.
No.
Because here's why I say that.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Because stockbrokers and what do? They make money.
Yeah, they
live for the adrenaline.
They make money, but they ride the adrenaline, the dopamine that they get off of closing and you know, the market shifts and all that.
But the passion is that because it's all about the money.
The end result.
No.
The end result is not the money.
The end result is the dopamine.
The end result is whatever they get with the money.
Right.
So this is the way.
And I'm not knocking stockbrokers out there, so your listeners are stockbrokers. I'm not saying bad about you.
Like, for me, I don't do things. Money doesn't wake me up.
Right.
What I can do with the money wakes me up. Right, because the way I see it in my you know, the way I envision things, if somebody was passionate about the money in effect, the tangible side of the money, they would just stock it in pallets at their house.
You know who's passionate about money?
Who?
Drug dealers.
Not even that.
Because they do stock their money and put it in the walls of the house, right?
Yeah.
They pile it.
It's not the service.
I hope I can flip one.
Because it's not the service. They're not trying to treat the customer well because they're literally killing their customer. So what's the passion?
It kind of goes like this. In the topic we're touching on today.
Yeah.
A lot of people are dropping off. They're getting off the carousel because they're not passionate for what they do. Agents. They're dropping off. They're getting off the train, the boat, the plane, the conveyor belt, whatever that is. They're getting off because the money's not there anymore.
It's not secured.
They got on because the money was there.
It was easier.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't about the money and it'd be about their passion, then they wouldn't care if they had to rearrange their commissions.
So
they would just work and help and serve the homeowners or the buyers or whomever that is to get to the end result, which is purchasing a house.
Right. Or selling a house.
We're selling it, the
coin right? run, but yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, let's deep dive into this and just.
I have
that
opinion.
That was a quote fun. Yeah. That was a fun quote, I mean.
Yeah, it was a quote.
I have opinion. I have an opinion about the quote. Nobody wants me to
go ahead, Danny, go ahead.
Oh, shut up.
it was a quote fun, yeah.
I think we're going to be all scattered around all these documents and stuff, but I want to share a story, one of my 1 million stories before I forget it. And it's it's about this, you know, this specific side of this stupid whatever this is. I don't know if this is, it has a name. This law has a name.
After you tell your story, I'll give the background of what this is and where we're going with it.
Oh, yeah, you were going to talk on that.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, yeah, I mean, we're talking about, like I said, the NAR settlement that was, there was a lawsuit that was brought against the National Association of Realtors, what, 2 years ago, a year ago, or something like that?
April, May of last year.
And it got settled, and the reason for the lawsuit was because they thought that, or the realtors were accused of
misrepresenting,
but maybe taking their buyers to houses that had higher commissions, in turn forcing them to buy houses not necessarily that were the best fit for them, but the best fit for the realtor to get paid, right? So someone filed a class action lawsuit against the National Association of Realtors, and the settlement was things have to change. Commission structures have to change. And so with all that said, the lawsuit was settled. The rules in place now are buying agents can no longer, or the selling agent can no longer post a commission for the buying agent on the MLS, right? So in essence, it's supposed to bring down or take away from that whole commission playing, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And changes the rules for now, if I'm going to be a home buyer, now I have to hire a buyer's agent for me to be able to see the house that maybe Wutra wants to sell,
mm-hmm,
with his listing agent. But in turn, now I have to have a buying agreement with the real estate agent and determine how I'm going to pay as the buyer, now pay the buying agent to try to correct this commission game
that's an added expense
to the buyer. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because the house price is still going to stay the same. It's not going to drop 3% because the buying agent isn't there.
Right.
Right. So now the buyer now has to pay full price for the house plus a 3% out of his pocket or whatever he negotiates with the buying agent. So now he has to pay out of pocket for that as well. Kind of sucks. I think it's stupid, but it's just my opinion.
It sucks for the buyer.
100%.
And it sucks for the buyer's agent.
Yep. Because now, the buyer's agent, so here, I think there's a lot of misconception about what realtors do, right? Because you hear a lot on social media, and oh, they're just highly paid door openers. Well, there's a lot of other things that they have to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a real estate agent, so I can't speak to that. But I know that there's more than just them opening a freaking door. I mean, mm-hmm, we had a licensed agent here. I don't know if she wants to speak up on that, though, but...
Yeah, I'm not.
But nevertheless, I mean,
I've seen the list of stuff they have to do.
Yeah,
the list of items they have to do.
Yeah,
behind the scenes.
Yeah,
paperwork, right?
Yeah,
there is always being a lot of paperwork when you're an agent. You need to say if you're going to be buyer and seller's representative, buyer's representative, or seller only. You know, if you have that exclusive contract, mm-hmm, that has always been there. I think they are misrepresentative might be the right word, but they just didn't use as much they should. Mm. And that it start bringing up a lot of problems. And, you know, you say I didn't say, you pay, I didn't pay, and it was not clear enough.
Mm.
I think one of the problems was that the forms were there. There's so many forms when they're going to be an agent. That's why I don't work. I mean, there is a lot. You work as a mm-hmm, yeah.
I did TC for many years, and
it's a
lot. It's a lot of forms. It's a lot of pushing paper back and forth. Then
nobody wants to do paperwork. Mm-hmm. Who does?
It's overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah, because you also have to deal with escrows and lenders and, you know, inspections and go through 50-page, you know, inspection reports. So, yeah, it's a lot of paperwork that it's behind the scenes. But, I mean...
So the buyer doesn't have to hire an agent?
They do.
They do. They should almost eliminate that option and let the buyers not hire an agent.
And just go directly to the selling agent.
So they can eat it. It's going to take somebody bleeding for the government to say, oh, shit. What? You know, it's like World War I, they invented canned food. Mm-hmm. And then World War II, they invented the can opener. Can you believe that shit? You know, it's like, again, let's fast forward that to our generation. They let you text in the car, but you can't use the phone. But you can't make a phone call. That was the first rule.
Yeah.
And then they had to re-amend it.
Yeah.
You know?
Take away texting after.
It was like, dude, why don't you just get the agent? So what you do is you eliminate buyer's agents mm-hmm. all around, and then nobody wants to be a buyer's agent. And then nobody's getting hurt on that end. Everybody becomes seller's agents and let the buyers deal with their own shit. And then a whole ton of lawsuits are going to flourish off of that because the government had this fucking stupendous idea of, yeah, we're the government. We know what we're doing.
All the time.
Why don't you just cut the fat and say, you know what, no more agents involved. Buyers, you go walk your property and you go do your open house and you go, you know, ask your wife the questions and the wife can ask the husband. Right?
Because the sellers are always honest, right?
Yeah.
100% honest, you know?
There's this comedian, I keep forgetting his name. You know, he says, well, you know, I'm the husband, but my wife is the man of the house. and then he says, well, she had a bunch of guys come over and, you know, they were asking him questions about the water heater. And he didn't know anything about the water heater because the wife is the man of the house.
Oh, shit.
So he said, well, I don't know what's wrong with the water heater. I'll take you to it if you tell me where it's supposed to go, because I don't know where it's supposed to go.
Oh,
but
man.
You know what? Now that I have you here, I'd like to order one today.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
The type of conversations buyers would have going solo.
Right.
By devaluating the contribution of the buyer's agent.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, 100%.
That's the perfect scenario that would happen without somebody leading them towards.
Yeah, exactly.
The process.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or through the process, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, you know, I was reading this one part, and I don't know if I understood it or didn't understand it. Now the buyer must negotiate what they will pay their own agent in a contract they sign before they begin touring potential homes to buy. This sucks. If I was an agent, you know what I would do is I was a buyer's agent. In my contract, I would have a full-on open disclosure. I'm only going to show you X amount of homes before your stupid pity commission makes sense for my time. And the story that came to mind when I read that section was, I have a good friend of mine, and he said, hey, dude, your wife is an agent. Do you think she can help me with, I'm looking to buy a house? And I'm like, nah, she's busy. I knew the guy, right? So he's like, oh, you're an ass, you know? And I'm like, no, she's just busy. But I knew exactly, I knew who I was talking to. Long story short, I get on a call with him. I'm like, hey, dude, how you doing, man? Like, how's the house hunting going? And he said, this stupid agent won't answer my calls anymore. And I'm like, what? Why? You know, it's like, what's going on? Are you not approved? You're like, yeah, I'm pre-approved for this amount, but I want to buy, you know, sometime soon. And I'm like, oh, well, why isn't she answering? Like, has she taking you house hunting, touring and stuff? Yeah, well, how many houses have you seen?
About 10.
He said, no, we've only seen 30. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
He said, yeah, we've only seen 30, and she won't pick up the phone anymore.
You won't make a decision.
Dude, I would never, in full disclosure, I would never take somebody to 30 houses for a commission controlled by an undecided person.
Right.
I mean, what value does it have anyways? They can't make a fucking decision.
Right. That happens a lot.
Oh, my God.
I deal with that stuff sometimes on the mobile home side where I've had when I first started out on that side of the business, I had this couple. Oh, I like this one. Oh, but I want to see the other one. Okay, but don't you like this one? You know, yeah, but I really want to see the other one. Okay, then I take them to see another one. Oh, that one's nice, just as nice as the other one, but I really want to see this one. And then next thing I know, I've showed them like 10 houses. And then they're like, you know, if this one looked like number two's living room and had number three's bathroom, that would be the one. And I'm just like, we're done. Like,
yeah.
And this is like when I very, very first started selling in that business.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was talking to another agent, and they're like, yeah, that's a rookie mistake. You're thinking that you're going to sell something with these people after 10? He goes, they're like, after three, if they haven't made a decision, they're never going to.
Yeah, so no way.
Let them go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let them go.
Yeah.
Let them go.
You know what? If I were an agent mm-hmm. and I was dealing with the buyer, mm-hmm. now that you have that, you know, exclusivity rights with the buyer, because they have to sign something, right? I think mm-hmm. that's what the thing said. I would have like an automated, you know, MLS criteria that fits them and send them everything. And then they tell me, okay, I want to see these five homes.
Oh, but that's the mistake. Because you send five and then they want to see the five because they don't know which one.
Yep.
And then they ask for more five. It's automatic. Yeah.
But you would send them like, and then you would tell them, okay, pick what you want to go see. What fits your criteria? From the pictures you see, what do you like? Because, I mean.
This podcast is sponsored by Become an Investor. Here at Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals, all working a path towards financial independence. We're about empowering you to take control of your financial future. Well, how? Well, most of us got started with foreclosure leads, and you now can too. Follow the link in the show notes below, and for a limited time, you can get our foreclosure ebook. With that, we'll also send you up to 10 free leads in your local area. So get those leads. Get this book so you too can get started on your path to living life by design. Now back to the podcast.
And then in that case, then you're going to take them to see all the homes that, you know, could possibly fit their criteria.
Usually the MLS, you're going to put the criteria and it's going to send every time something pops up. Yeah, it's going to send to them.
But as an agent, what you have to do too is tell them, sit them down and tell them, here's what we're doing. Like, you got to take charge of this, right? So you don't get ran around and you don't outweigh your commission and your cost of gas, time, and whatever else. I'm going to show you these three houses based on the criteria you gave me, right? So it's on them. And you need to tell me, as we look at these houses, what's your feeling on them, right? From a scale of 1 to 10. If they're not a 7, or above, then you scratch it, we move on to the next one, don't even think about it. And then after the third one, which one is it that you like? If you have to go see another 5, then you're not serious about buying a house, right?
Yeah.
Because this is all based on your criteria.
Right. So in my little perfect scenario is just, you know, you just send them, you know, so many homes at one time. You're not going to, you know, be sending them homes every week or whatever. This is what's here now. I'm going to send you these 30 properties. Tell me, out of those, how many you want to go see?
So that's...
Well, no, I mean, I'm giving them options, right? Like, I'm trying to help them as much as I can. But then, like, that agent example that you gave, you know, like, I'm not going to waste my gas, my time, and, you know, sacrifice weekends after weekends, you know? And God knows where you're driving sometimes.
And I have an assistant.
But this is what I think the quote goes with. Now you're going to understand and see the difference in buyers... agent. This is when do you say, you know, on the code say necessary just to cash a check, not, you know, not necessary to do that. Some people want to represent the sellers. They are just comfortable because, you know, before they would get a pay, you know, they are good at, would get a check anyways. Now, if you really want to represent buyers, you are going to have to go through all these levels and work your beautiful day and understand your... But this is the truth.
No, I see what you're saying, criteria. But I think though
you
that,
are
you
going
know,
to if, be a passionate buyer's agent and you're going to make money. Because it's going to eat.
But you're
you have to. You could be passionate about that, but you also have to like, your job is to guide them into, you know, the house that they want based on the criteria.
Yeah,
that,
but that what I'm have. Saying here, it's seller's agent, it's easy. I want to sell. Okay, I got the contracts here. Now, for you to represent the buyer, like, I, you know, and have the ability, you know, that knowledge, okay, I'm going to connect you with this dot, and this dot, that is going to start showing skills. And it's not everybody. It's like Luis was saying, some people are just going to drop it off because they don't know what to do. They don't even know what they have.
No.
I just think that, you know.
I think so.
Like, if you, so when you go and you show properties, you know, you're pulling up properties that you think your buyer is going to like, right? You think it's, you know, what they envision.
Yeah.
So because you have a criteria for them. But if you were to present it to them in paper and then say, okay, this is what I think you like. Now you tell me which of these attract you better. You're still, you're not doing a disservice, and you're not doing it with passion. And, you know, you're still doing your
job. You know what? I'm not doing the service, period. Yeah, like, fuck, this is too complicated. You know, it's like, you can't create an automated system because you know what's the common changing factor? The buyer, right? So you would have to re-fine-tune your system every other buyer because paper's paper.
Mm-hmm.
Website is a website. But once you get there in a physical form and walk the property, the wife is going to want X and the husband's going to want, you know, Y, whatever, you know? So it's going to be like, oh, shit, back to the drawing board again.
No, well, they're each going to have their individual buy box or their individual, you know, criteria.
Right. So what automated system is going to match them to?
Well, not necessarily like to automated system, but like, no. I mean, no, you know, that's why you sit with them and you talk and then you see like what they want.
I don't
and
have
then
time for that already.
But
hell no.
That is where you're going to show your skills as a buyer's agent, I guess. I mean,
but it doesn't not make like, any sense.
And it's the job. Who wants to be an agent anyways?
Yeah, that's great. Sometimes I do. Sometimes.
I mean, but it doesn't make any sense, man. Like the uncertain level, the uncertainty level. I can't talk anymore. I'm rapping over here like Ludacris.
I know, right?
The uncertainty level of what the what your value is sucks. Like, what's your return on your time? I mean, am I going to make $1,000 to show you a house, or am I going to make $1,000 to show you 10 houses? It just sucks ass, man.
Yeah, that's the part that sucks.
I would never get into a business like that. Never.
It is a business in the word, but
dude, why don't they just get rid of the agents? They should, you know, somebody should come in and with the carriage and a bunch of horses with a huge carriage and go around town and find all these buyer's agents, slice their throat, throw them in the carriage. What? And then just get rid of them.
I'm going to become a buyer's agent just to
have them just go extinct because it doesn't make sense to exist. It just doesn't. Unless you have no ambition and you just settle for whatever peanuts a buyer is going to give you because now they get to call the shots.
Yeah.
And you get to say no. It's that simple.
Yeah, but then if they start saying no, there's their business. It's gone.
Yeah, it's already. I face so many no's when it makes sense. Now that it doesn't make sense.
There's ways to make money for there is ways to make money for on this, right? But it's the process that they got to build. Like they definitely have to change what they're doing because there is no money for them if they're expecting to write off the coattails of the seller's agent, right?
They need to love their job.
Yeah, because it's going to be much much more difficult for them. And to your point, yes,
it is.
That commission is going to shrink quite a bit, right? Because you're going to get all the time. We only have. You know, really, I only saved the 3.5% down because I want to do an FHA loan. And now having to pay you out of pocket, it's not going to work, right?
Can I do payments?
Yeah. Pipeline.
I mean, I don't know the agent side because I'm not an agent. But I know, for example, I know what it cost me to leave my house for a meeting. You know, my cost of operations. You know, if you, like in the construction industry, if you're going to move a team, you have to know what turning that truck means, turning it on and leaving the construction yard.
Right.
If you don't know those numbers, you suck at business. So if you're going to go and send two crews and the expense out the door, you got four, let's just say four guys per crew, one vehicle per crew. Let's just say it costs you $3,000 a crew a day to run. Sometimes just leave your crew at home.
Right.
If it doesn't make sense. So when you're an agent, you have to know what it costs you.
Yes.
To show one house and then show two houses and three houses. At what point do I show so many houses to mitigate the cost? And the return makes sense.
Right. And that's where the business side kicks in, right? And that's what these agents really need to start understanding. So I understand that side about my business for sure, mm-hmm. right? I know what it's going to cost me because I have somebody I have to pay, right?
Yeah.
Somebody who's going to send those links out. So I understand that right out the gate, what it's going to cost me to pay her. And now I need and then my time to get in the car and drive and then gas, insurance, you know what I mean? I factor all that stuff in.
Yep.
So 3-4 visits, if that's not the case, I can't keep going. Right. Or I have to come back and say, hey, you know what? This commission structure is not going to work out. But, you know, I've done it before where I've had to do that because I start losing money.
Yeah. Yeah. So then is the exclusive relationship one-sided?
Yeah.
Sided favoring the agent?
It's favoring the agent.
Not the buyer.
Not the buyer. Wow. Yeah, because it favors the agent across the board because the agent makes them sign a 3-month or a 6-month deal of, hey, I'm your exclusive agent, right? So if you find anything outside of me and you pay somebody else. See, I don't even know how that's going
to
work, though.
So let's...
They would be entitled to the commission.
Let's walk through this. So now the buyer controls how much the buyer's agent makes.
Yes.
Okay, that's in the picture. Now, following that, there's an exclusive business relationship contract.
Yes.
Okay. What's the amount of homes in the length of the contract that I'm supposed to show you? Am I bound to the contract?
That has to be up to the contract.
I'm the agent. Right. Am I supposed to now? I'm obligated to show you 50,000 homes
within that within the period of the contract. I would hope they would write something up. You know what I mean? I would hope. Yeah,
you know these dummies. I'll tell you something. The people that wrote this up are the exact same people. I'm not going to say any names. They're the same people that invented canned food. They forgot the can opener. It sucks, man.
Right.
You know, it's like they're getting all these different layers of responsibility and return, and they don't make sense to each other.
Right. I mean, I guess if the agent, if the buying agent's good, they could get paid through the seller, right? If they write up an offer, say, hey, my guy really wants it, la, la, la. And if you could just pay my fees out of your...
Why would he?
The proceeds, right? Because we're still in a seller's market.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, this doesn't make sense to anybody.
Mm-mm. No, it doesn't.
I don't get it, man. I mean, I'm kind of dumb, but this is making me dumber, dude. Like, you know, I look at all these different clauses, and you're like, okay, yeah, well, yeah. I mean, the buyer decides.
If you wait today or tomorrow. Yeah.
If I was an agent, I would be very, I mean, I'll say in full disclosure, my brother just purchased a home and he had troubles. Him and his wife had troubles making the decision to buy because they were looking for the perfect home. And then I sat with them. I told him, let me tell you something. Your first home is never the perfect home. Your first home is never your last home. So you first have to experience the ownership process and then determine if that's your nest. If not, you move on.
Yep.
You want the perfect home, then you build it from scratch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even when you build it from scratch, it's construction. Nothing's perfect.
Good point.
So he said, you know what? Shit. I didn't even think of it. Let's move forward. And that was the tilting point for him to make a decision. And I told him, dude, whatever it is, whatever obstacles you're facing now to make a decision, you're pushing them further out. They're still the same fucking ones.
Right.
You're going to face them regardless. You know? So he said, you know what? Yeah. Let's do it.
Exact conversation a buying agent has to have with their buyer.
That's exactly it.
But then you'd be a good buyer's agent.
but then you call my buddy, who's matter of fact, I mean, he's on the he's looking for his next home. I mean, he'll take you through the fucking trenches, 30 homes.
That's crazy.
You know?
Of course she's not going to answer him anymore, man. I would have stopped after 3, 4.
But all these extensions of these new rules, what? Dude, this sucks. So now I'm bound to you per contract. What are the repercussions to that? If I drop you, you sue me? 10 times the commission you were not going to give me?
Yeah.
And then now my license is at stake?
Yeah.
My reputation?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, it's a little crazy. Really just gonna, it's gonna put buyer's agents to bed for sure.
They should just, you know, like the dinosaurs, they should just go extinct.
Make them extinct. That sucks, though.
You know, and then let the agent deal with it. I mean, let the buyer deal with it. Let the buyer not discover, for the lack of understanding, the lack of experience, the lack of resources, experience the miss at the end, and then end up in bed with a huge mortgage with a high interest rate with the painted pig.
Yeah. But I mean, what's going to end up happening is you will get a whole bunch of buyer's agents that go away. I mean, they go either way, right? But the ones that don't get listings are going to go away. Right, the ones that continue to get listings are going to stick around and then represent the buyer and the seller, and then they're going to get overwhelmed, right? Because they're going to get too busy because they're going to have too many listings and too many buyers coming through, and they're not going to be able to keep up, and then that's going to screw the agent. That'll screw everything up as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Crazy business.
Crazy. It's a crazy business. I mean, I understand regulations and shit. You know, and the government having a certain level of control over fair trade, right? But shit, man, they just really don't want people. They're slowly turning the U.S. into a Venezuela, a Cuba.
Yeah,
you know, it's
a mess.
This is gonna be like a dictatorship in which you could dream. That's as good as it gets.
Yeah. I mean, because not to get all political or anything, but like some of the stuff that they're floating right now is like price control. That's not going to work for anything, you know?
Well, it's going to work for them.
Yeah, because, you
know. So they think.
Well, it also does give government more power at the end of the day.
So
it works 100% for them.
Yeah, so we were talking about this, you know, buddy of mine and myself, we had lunch today and we're talking about fair trade, right? Mm-hmm. I'm very big on fair trade. And we started talking about when the coin came to life as currency. And I told him, well, you know what? Back in the day, fair trade was, I need a service. Great. I have a piece of bread. Well, do you have a Coke with the bread? Do you have a glass of milk with the bread?
A piece of meat.
you know, depending on your needs was the trade. And everybody went home happy. Now it's like, no. It's like, how much more can I get out of you for less?
Right.
Right. You know, it's like these, and sometimes we're guilty ourselves, and you listener too, okay? We're guilty of going to like pawn shops or swap meets or small businesses and trying to negotiate or go to third world countries or go to places where we vacation and see street vendors and try to negotiate their prices down,
mm-hmm.
right, to get a better deal. Mom and pop shops try to get a better deal, get a discount. But we don't call fucking James Bezos or what's his name?
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, same shit. You know, we don't call him for a discount.
No shit.
We don't call Elon Musk for a discount on his cars. You know, and governments, they don't go after them for penalties and you know, they scratch each other's back. But the little guy gets the short end of the stick.
All the time.
Because the bigger part of the stick is already up your yay yay. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and this is just a perfect example of how to slice a hardworking individual's throat in half. Somebody trying to provide for their family. I mean, this is just an avenue that a lot of people are going to say, you know what, dude? I got to restructure my life and my finances because the only thing I knew how to do, which was be a buyer's agent, doesn't make sense anymore. This is an industry being affected by stupid decisions. I'll say it again, by the very same people that created the fucking canned food. And then after the fact, after the math, after all the bodies are dropped dead in the floor, they're going to try to fix it.
Yep.
And you know what? It's also affecting the buyer. A hardworking American who's trying to buy their white picket fence home.
Yep.
But now they can't because they just have enough for whatever it is that, you know, they're trying to get, but they don't have that extra money. So what happened to the American dream?
there's no American dream.
It's going away.
I'll tell you that, man. I'll say this out loud. This is my personal belief. There is no American dream anymore. Mm-mm. That does not exist. If you wake up trying to chase that shit, just go back to sleep.
You're better off just going back to sleep. Now it's just the American trying to survive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude.
That's seriously exactly, what it is. And going back to what I was saying before, it's all about eliminating small businesses.
Yeah, dude.
An agent still running a business, right? Yeah. His own business and selling homes. And they were doing pretty well. Yeah. And it's almost like, oh, no, you're not worthy of doing well, so we're going to find a way to cut you. You know what I mean? It sucks.
It sucks, man. Let's. I'm getting a headache. Let's. Let's shut it off.
Can't wait for next week.
I just hate. I mean, I'm so in love with entrepreneurship. I just hate the fucking government trying to keep their foot on our neck all the time. You know, they never, the lawsuit came in, and then I'm pretty sure they got a lot of money to pay, but there's a lot of deep pockets in there. A lot of favors in behind the scenes with, you know, the stupid national association of whatever, right? There's a lot of money going on in there. Mm-hmm. And who do they affect? They affect the little guy.
Yep.
They don't hurt the big guy. You know, it's like I was rewatching the documentary on Bernie Madoff. Remember, mm-hmm. I recommended it one time? Mm-hmm. Dude, no one went to prison. He washed $62 billion.
Shit.
Nobody. Absolutely nobody went to prison except for him and then three or four people of his immediate group for 2.5 years, 5 years, and that was it.
Wow.
Nobody from the SEC, no bankers. JP Morgan was in bed, deep in bed with them, washing billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars. A lot of investors, nobody went to prison. You know who had to pay the money? People that trusted his system, made a little bit of earnings, a clawback rule got enforced, and all the money that you made got taken back away from you to pay the people that lost the most. Yeah.
But I'm sure JP Morgan made some money off of that. Did they have to send their money back? Oh,
they made a ton of fucking money.
Did their money have to go back?
No, they only paid $2.6 billion off of the hundreds of billions of dollars they made.
What a joke.
And they were the only, so they say, they were the only entity fully aware of what was happening. Because I forget the name, but the banking system has a trigger on any questionable transactions above $10,000.
Wow.
There has to be a track. Okay, so they keep a consistent pattern on how you operate your business, right? So, you know, you bring in, say, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, you pay out $5,000, $7,000, maybe $10,000 here and there, you know, but they see the patterns of your income and your expense sheet via the bank information that they have. And this guy was getting injected with hundreds of millions of dollars and no money going out. I was like, where the hell did you get that money from? Like, there's no trade. There was no trade. It was just a scam from day one. It was a scheme from day one, a Ponzi scheme.
Wow.
And nobody got hurt but the little guy. No government officials got penalized. Nobody got fired but the little guy.
How it goes.
That's how it goes. Okay, ladies.
Grow up or go home.
Stop it. Sarah, let's close it tonight.
I want to cry.
Yeah. Give us some good energy, please.
Let's close. Well, this is such a negative topic.
Yeah, let's. You have a joke? Let's talk about it.
I don't know. You know, let's just hang in there, people.
hang in there. That's
buyer's good. Agent. Work with that passion.
Yeah, yeah, work with that passion. Say. That's right. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Keep the passion. Keep the dream alive. Keep hope alive. There you go.
Yeah.
Shoo, shoo. All right, beautiful people. I think we're over here with all this beautiful topic.
Yeah, I have nothing to say.
Yep.
Nope. Yeah, let's talk about something fun next week.
Yeah.
Taxes.
Danny's been stirring the pot.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Love you guys. All right. Yeah, all right. If you guys want to follow us on Spotify or Apple Podcast, don't forget to take a look on Live Life by Design, brought by Become an Investor. You are also going to find us on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. If you want more information, please go to info@becomeaninvestor.com. And don't forget to give us that 5 beautiful likes.
5 stars.
5 stars. See you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.